Hello and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, John Richardson.
And me, Matt Ford. This is the second episode in 2 days for you lucky people. And later on, we'll be chatting to a very special guest journalist, YouTuber, television presenter and creator of the phenomenal web series Chicken Shop Date. It's Amelia de Moldenberg. But first...
How's the festival going, Matthew?
Oh, it's good, thanks. I saw a guy in a forest shirt yesterday.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I presumed he came to my show. I thought it'd look a bit needy if I went up to him.
It's tricky, that, isn't it? I saw a couple of guys out in lead shirts today. One was a child, and I don't think you can really approach a child to say anything just because they happen to be wearing a lead shirt. But one was a guy in his car, and I very nearly sort of shouted, Leeds, Leeds, Leeds. But
you bottled it, you scaredy cat.
Felt like a little bit over the top.
Well, if I was out there, in fact, I passed a father and son in London the other week, both wearing forest tops, and I went, you Reds! And then we stopped and had a chat about it, and it was lovely. I think if I was out there in the wild, but if you're at an industry festival like Edinburgh, I think it would look like he'd go away going, oh, that Matt Ford's so desperate, he was just looking for people in forest kits to go to his show.
Yeah, I did some work recently with our friend and colleague Sean Walsh.
Legend.
We were walking along the street and there was standing traffic next to us. And there was a guy on his own in a car in a QPR shirt. Sean shouted very loud, you ours. And the guy absolutely blanked him. I mean, and I'll say this for Walshy, he tried again two more times. He shouted it three times. And the guy absolutely ignored him. It was hilarious.
And do you think the guy was ignoring him on purpose, or was he a deaf man?
No, I think he was ignoring him on purpose. I don't know if he wasn't familiar with the refrain, or whether he picked up the shirt in a charity shop and he wasn't really a fan. But I think if you're an adult and you wear a football shirt out, you're asking for that, aren't you? I know when I put Leeds Clobber on, what I'm saying is I don't mind chatting to you about Leeds stuff.
Yeah, I like it when, if you're wearing that, you're basically saying, approach me. Approach me if you're a kindred spirit.
I think you can't dress wacky and then get annoyed when people come up to you. And I think football shirts are the same. They're sort of, you know, I saw Jason Manford Instagramming a picture of him on holiday this week, and he's got Greg's Crocs. You're inviting people to come up to you by the pool and say, all right, steak bake, aren't you?
People say that to me anyway.
Yeah, you've got a Greg's complexion.
Yeah, I've got, I'm full of meat and I've got flaky skin.
Hey, Matt, do you want to talk about football?
Yes.
What do you make of rumours that the Nottinghamshire Reds are trying to sign Jiz Hornkamp?
I actually can't believe his name is spelt Jiz, like Jiz. I thought it was going to be like G-E-U-S, and you're like, oh, it's pronounced Jiz, nice one. I mean, Jiz was trending on Twitter. I mean, the temptation obviously is to get Jiz on the back of your shirt. Now, John, I brought Vinny to Edinburgh. Do you want to hear from him?
Not really.
I've put him in a drawer by the side of the bed. Hold on.
No, of course you were. Not that drawer.
Hey, James. It's good to be back. I've been in the dark for many months now. And it's good to be back talking to my friends. How are you doing? And how's the FPL?
Well, it hasn't started yet, so thanks for your early expertise. Obviously, first game week is next week, but I'll let you off because you've been in the dark. First time in Edinburgh?
Yep, first time in Scotland, my friend. So, you know, I've been to the Wembley Stadiums, and now I'm in the Scotland, and I'm enjoying the travel element of the show. I was thinking, maybe me and you could pitch a travel show for maybe the televisions or the podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Sort of all male travel shows are, well, I mean, every year until now, to be honest, I was going to say a little bit 1990s, but a little bit the dawn of comedy until 2021.
Okay, then let's scrap that idea. Let's do a cookery show, me and you, and we could do like the Hairy Bikers, but John and Vinny's big cooking.
Yeah, I again, would be wary of a sort of woolen sock in the kitchen.
I can just sit at the shed making right comments. Casting a sideways glance over the food that you're making.
Yeah, I'm going to level with you, Vinny. If I'm in the kitchen with a knife and a blender and you're making wry comments, I think episode one will be our last.
What a way to go, man. And to be part of TV history with you assassinating me in a knife and blender incident, I take that. You know, life doesn't go on forever. Sometimes you got to think about this stuff and you go, you know what? For a man who loves showbiz like me, maybe that'd be a great way, and it would cement my place in histories.
If I put you in a blender on TV, I don't think that would go down in TV history.
I think it would make you look like a cruel, cold, mean-hearted person. I think it would reflect badly on you, Jonge. I think it would be the death knell of your career.
Yeah, I'm ready. Bring it on, mate. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm frankly gutted that you're back. I hoped this feature might die a death, but since you're here, would you like to read an email? And then, with all due respect, back off again.
You know what? I know a deal when I see one, so you're on. Here we go. This is from Ollie. Oh, I just lost my place in the document, Jan. Excuse me. I'm just going to scroll down.
You can't scroll, can you? I imagine your rotten, worn face doesn't register on an Apple mouse pad.
You just be careful there with what you change, and I'm going to find it. Here we go.
I mean, just the trace of eczema juice leaking through might be some sort of, might count as bodily contact, I suppose.
Yeah, it makes you look like I'm drooling and bleeding from the mouth. It's very, rough level. Okay, so this is from Ollie Robinson. You ready?
Yeah.
Ollie Robinson says, I've got some pun first, format later ideas for you. So, here's one. Jacques Khan. Okay. Like Jacques Khan. John makes a true or false statement about Granny Jacka, and Matt answers either Jacka can or Jacka can't. Thanks to the podcast and the laughs. Ollie!
Okay, yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, it's another one from Colin. He says, wow, here's the pitch. So the title is called Kevin De Groiner, and it's the funniest reasons for players being out injured. National, European, global. And then he's got a load of others. Kevin De Coiner, the most bizarre thing a footballer's ever spent money on. Kevin De Loiner, footballers talking about their favorite cut of meat. Kevin De Doiner, footballers in their most extravagant holidays. And finally, Kevin De Joiner, footballers and their most interesting jobs pre-football. That's a clever man. I like Colin.
Yeah, I like I like the puns. I don't know how long many of these features can run. I mean, footballers discussing their favourite cut of meat strikes me as one that's probably got half a show in it.
Okay, how about I just put my Vinnie Van De Veet pitching hand on? How about this? We call it Kevin De Loiner, but instead of having to find out what footballers actually like, we pick a footballer and we just guess what we think their favourite meat is.
Okay, well, let's do both of those features then, shall we, since we're here. You say a name at me and I'll pick the meat, and then I'm going to give you a possible fact about Granit Xhaka.
Oh, wow, okay. So, here's a name for you. Jesse Lingard.
Oh, chicken breast.
Ooh, why you say that? Go on.
Very dull.
Oh.
Just, you know, it's the decision of a man who's settled in life. He's basically staring death in the face. It's high in protein, it's lean in fat, it's easy to cook, you know, just, it's very much the Nottingham Forest of meat. And he'd probably mispronounce it as well. He'd probably call it like chicken and breast. I don't know if any, while Matt's away, we can have some fun. I don't know if you saw the video of Jesse Lingard talking about having signed for Notts Forest this week.
No, I was in the cupboard in a plastic bag, but I heard Matt growling through the doors.
Yeah.
He was not happy, man. He was saying, you can't be saying this. This is Shekmashanked.
He'll learn, won't he? It's a real opportunity, Vinny, actually. I'm surprised to me that we've never hit on this possible bonding point. But obviously, you being here means Matthew isn't here.
Yes.
You really slag him off while he's not listening.
But he's so good to me, John. I wouldn't want a bad man to guy.
His appearance or the quality of his comedy shows. Or here's a task for you then next week. You read that email very well. I would like you to come back next week with a searing insult about Matt Ford.
But, so what sort of stuff? Are you looking for kind of like verbosity or just like, oh, the guy's a sweaty fat f***?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what I was looking for until you said it, but the second one.
Okay, challenge accepted. I'm going to go now, John. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Vincent.
See you, mate. How was that?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I think we're really starting to bond. I think we're finally growing closer.
Oh.
Vinny was saying that Jesse Lingard put a video out talking about having signed for Notts Forest or something. I hadn't heard of it.
No, I'm used to basically. Stuff like that doesn't get to me anyway.
Anyway, he has suggested a new feature from a listener called Xhaka Khan, where I'll tell you a fact about Granit Xhaka,
yeah,
and you tell me whether it's true or false by saying Xhaka Khan or Xhaka Khan.
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're going to play it now.
So... Yeah, I've got one for you. Granit Xhaka has an older brother who's also a professional footballer, whose name is Jean-Jacques.
Xhaka can't.
Yeah, you're right. There's no such person as Jean-Jacques Xhaka. But he does have an older brother who is a professional footballer called Tolont, and he plays for Basel and the Albanian national team.
Xhaka Khan.
That is Xhaka Khan, yeah.
So, John, I want you to cast your mind back. The year is 1993, Leeds United follow up winning the league title the previous year by failing to win away from home all season and limp to a 17th place finish, just like last season.
Not quite like last season, of course, because we famously won away from home on the last day of the season to stay up, one of the most exciting moments in British football history. But yes, 1993, I remember that as the same year that Brian Clough's remarkable reign at relegated Nottingham Forest comes to what was described as an emotional end.
Yeah, I'm still not over it. But Roosters Brewing Co. had just hatched, forever changing the shape of beer in the UK and blazing a trail that others will later follow. Originators and innovators of quality New World pale ales, with an emphasis on flavour and aroma, Roosters beers start to stand out and turn heads amongst a sea of brown beer, with Yankee, the brewery's flagship pale ale, leading the way.
Do you want to hear a can of Yankee being opened?
Go on.
There you go, mate. I'm going to drink it now, and I'm going to raise a toast to Jesse Marsh and the positive influence that all things American can have on the Premier League. It's delicious.
Go on, describe the flavour.
There's a sweetness, but not an overpowering sweetness. It's not too hoppy. It's got a nice maltiness to it, which you don't get enough of in beer these days. And it's vegan. It's vegan.
That's good, right?
It's good for me. It's good for the planet. And it's good for all the little animals.
And also, it's a good luck charm. I had a few cans of Roosters, actually, before I left the house on Sunday for the Euros final. And England won. Fast forward almost 30 years from 1993, with countless awards having been won along the way.
Yeah, but not for Forest.
Yes, and neither of Leeds. So we are back, both of us, together at the top table of English football, while Roosters' ethos remains the same, to consistently brew quality, easy drinking and well-balanced beers across a wide variety of styles. Roosters is a small, independent and family-owned brewery, and we'll also be doing some live shows there at the end of the year.
Yes, but what's in it for me, I hear you cry. Well, Roosters have donated £50 worth of beers for the winner of our CPFBL Listener League to be included as part of the overall end-of-season prize.
Mm-mm-mm. Head to www.roosters.co.uk and enter the code CPFPL20, that's CPFPL20, at the checkout, and you get 20% off everything, excluding gift vouchers, until the end of September, with free shipping on orders over £50. A cluck and collect service is also available if you're local to Harrogate, which you kind of are.
I'm local enough, and I'm tight enough, so if they're going to give me it for free, I'm going to go to Harrogate.
Get down, Roosters, mate. We're delighted to be joined by the star of Chicken Shop Day, Amelia de Moldenberg. And Amelia, we have to deal with this first. You were also at Wembley on Sunday for the final, watching England win the Euros for the first time in our history. Did you get as emotional as everyone else?
Wow, I was there. I was lucky enough to be there. Was I emotional? I was emotional, but I feel like I don't really show that much emotion most of the time. It was just incredible. It was really amazing to be there. A moment of history we witnessed. So I'm very lucky that I was there.
Yeah, I guess if you get excited and show emotion, that's basically off brand. And that might ruin the act.
I know, and I could get cancelled for showing too much emotion. So there was no footage. Actually, there was a video. I posted a video of me cheering, and loads of people did comment saying, "Wow, you so much emotion." But it was yeah.
If you're going to save your first cheer for one thing,
yeah.
I think that's a good, you know, if you're going to test the waters of being happy about things,
it's a good one.
That's a good one.
Amelia, you were presenting on the official Lionesses channel, so you've interviewed so many of the stars, Beth Mead, Ella Toon, who's got that amazing goal, and Lucy Bronze. Of all the, I'm a massive fan of Lucy Bronze.
Same.
And who impressed you the most?
Well, that's a good question. It's been amazing to meet the Lionesses and to meet so many of them and to get to talk to them and interview them, get to know them a bit better, and then also at the same time watching them play. I think maybe my favorite is Beth Mead. She's just so brilliant, like on and off the pitch. I feel like also we just got on so well, and we just, you know, when you meet someone and you just connect straight away, and you, it's just very easy to talk to someone. That's kind of the vibe I got with her, and she definitely like matched my awkward energy in interviews, which I love. And she doesn't take herself too seriously. Actually, I'm so impressed by all of the like lionesses that I met. Like, they've all got such good sense of humors, like so much more than the men.
I'm still reeling from the thought that you can talk to someone you've not met before and click instantly and have a sort of I'll be honest, I've just totally floored me, that idea.
I'm sorry, John. I know it's crazy for you to think about that. I know.
Yeah.
I've got a skill. Can I say I'm blessed?
You can notice a sort of a clear difference then, can you, interviewing the lionesses and some of the sort of, you know,
yes,
pumped up Premier League big shots.
Yeah.
Your Jesse Lingard.
Well, funny you say Jesse Lingard. Ooh. Because Jesse Lingard is maybe one of the ones where there's not a difference, because he's just got such a charisma about him, and he's so I think he's so naturally funny, doesn't take himself too seriously, willing to, like,
clearly look at the decisions he's made in his career.
Maybe it's just me, like maybe it's just when he's with me he's just but then I guess with the men, they're so, well actually the women are also media trained, but the men are just under a, have been for such a longer time under a different kind of spotlight, and I think that they are incredibly media trained, and they are very used to just doing specific kind of interviews based around football, based around the tactics. And like the thing with me is I kind of rarely talk to them about football, so I think often they're taken a bit off guard by my line of questioning, which is also why I love doing it.
Bernardo Silva looked genuinely scared to have a second chip on the one that you did with him. I mean, I've never seen anyone so scared of fried food. I mean, it's not just like the interview-wise, they're not allowed to release anything. They're not allowed to like eat junk food by the looks of things.
I know. I feel like he just nibbled one and then that was it. To be fair, I'm often just nibbling the chips. I look down at my, when I'm filming a Chicken Shop Day, I look down at my box and I've just loads of like half nibbled chips and half nibbled nuggets, because I'm like so thinking about the questions I forget to eat. But yeah, I was so surprised by him, because so with him, I'd done my research into who he was. I wasn't familiar with him before I started doing the research and writing my questions. And I had no idea like what he'd be like. He hadn't really done that many interviews. And I think that's also why that episode is loved by so many people, because I think it was like one of the first kind of insights into who he is, what his personality is like, and the kind of person he is off the pitch. An energy that was I didn't expect.
I'm going to leave. I'm assuming Fordy's going to pause there, because as much as I was floored by the idea that you can click with someone instantly, I think he's going to need a few minutes after the idea that you can be so committed to your job that you forget to eat a plate of chicken nuggets. You're interviewing a lot of footballers now on the new show Fake News, where they come with facts. Is there anyone who's stood out there who's come straight in? You've had some phenomenal names, Ollie Watkins and Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Declan Rice.
Yeah. Oh, you know who I was so excited to interview? I've been excited to interview all of these players because I just love that show so much. And one that I was most excited for was probably Son, because he's just loved by everyone. And I was so excited to meet him. And I'd watched a few interviews with him and saw that he was like super friendly and just had a really like likeable energy about him.
And he's opening up a global market, let's be honest. Let's get it out there. What you're thinking there is, this really opens up a global tour for me here.
Yeah, I mean, I could be going to Seoul like any day now, like with the whole that's what I was thinking. I'm going to be huge in the Asian markets. But he was amazing. So I was really excited to interview him, and his interview was brilliant. It's like one of my favorite interviews, and he was also kind of a bit mean to me, which I always love.
And do you break character before or after the interview? Do you say, oh look, I'm going to be a bit deadpan, either before or afterwards? You go, oh, thank you so much for that. Or do you keep the pretense up the whole time?
With Fake News and with the footballers, I'm quite method, actually. I don't really get to talk to them at all, but it's also because of the way they're like ferried in and out, and they've got so many people with them that like you don't really get to have a chat with them before. My producer sort of debriefs them because they have to be shown truths and lies. But then I don't really talk to them before. And then afterwards, I feel like they're sort of like, what the hell did I just do? And then they go and like run off and do like loads of photos posing with football boots. And I just wave like, I'm like, bye, nice to meet you. And I think they must think like she's a crazy person. For example, my last fake news episode with Jorginho, we brought baby goats. Anyway, they were small goats.
Goatinho.
Yeah, exactly. And he was just, that was just completely shocking for him that we had live animals on set. And I just love that. And that's why I love interviewing footballers. Like, even if they're sometimes not, you know, giving me, you know, not that energetic or whatever, like, I just love interviewing footballers because I feel like there's so many interviews with them just talking about the same old kind of things. If you're able to get a footballer, you know, talking about something different or looking at like they're out of their comfort zone or laughing or whatever that is, then I feel like you've really like struck gold in terms of like,
yeah,
in that way. I love the challenge of being able to like make a seemingly uninteresting footballer like an interesting person in the interview.
So what you've got, I think, in that regard is that you're sort of their age, aren't you? Because you're 28. And when I've met footballers, it doesn't happen very often, I feel very much 40. Some of the sort of world famous footballers that are like 23, as a fan of football, you're like, oh, I'm going to become friends with a footballer. And then you think, oh no, I'm a 40-year-old man talking to a 23-year-old man, and I don't have anything in common with it.
Yeah, but I think you have an advantage of like if you can make them laugh. Like, I actually feel like,
yeah, I can't do that.
You can't do that, but yeah, then you go, we are screwed then. So there you go. I'm also just very different from a professional footballer. So I think that we have like not that much in common to begin with anyway, Rob. So much more than age, like all different things.
Your other show, Fake News, as you mentioned, involves guests giving you a statement that is true and one there's a lie. So we're both going to do this for you now, Amelia, and we want you to guess, obviously. John, do you have yours?
Yeah, I do, yes. True or false, I, and I've already revealed my age, have never been stung by a wasp or bee.
Okay, wow. What an interesting fact. I would say that you have never been stung by a wasp or a bee.
I think you have been. I hope you've been stung by a wasp or bee.
Yeah, it's an interesting fact and an interesting anecdote, because I hadn't been stung by a wasp or bee until two days ago when I got stung for the first time. I'm turning 40 this year. You've got to do new things.
Oh my goodness. What happened? Where were you?
I was in a pub beer garden with my wife and child, and I decided for the first time in my life, because my daughter is now at an age where I feel like I could really do some damage by showing fear of things. And usually my tactic is to run. And that's lasted me 39 years. I've never been stung. And I decided I'm going to do that thing where you say, oh, they're more scared of you, leave them alone, they won't bother you. And I did that, and I got stung on the arm, and it really hurt.
Oh dear, I'm so sorry. Have you recovered?
I think I'm okay, yeah. There's some PTSD that we're dealing with. That's going to take sort of years of therapy. But the pain itself, I sort of relieved in a way. I thought I was going to be allergic. I wasn't. The landlord of the pub brought me some ice, and I put it on my arm. Everyone was very nice. Everyone's been really understanding. And I think I've come through it a better and a stronger, and let's be honest, a more interesting person.
Definitely more interesting, for sure.
But how bad was the pain? What would you liken it to?
Well, if I was doing I don't know if you've seen the show Kings of Pain.
No.
Have you not seen it? Oh, my God. You've both got to get on Kings of Pain. It's two guys who travel around the world getting bitten or stung by the most painful or poisonous things on the planet. So that they put a tarantula on their arm. There's one where they get like Komodo dragons. There's one where they get a python and it takes a big chunk out of their arm. It's crazy
what people commission, because I've been trying to get a TV show commissioned for years and I still can't, but they will commission stuff like this.
Yeah, it's very much of its time, by which I mean 2 or 3 years ago, where it's just two blokes. And they sort of, there's a sort of homoerotic element where some of the stings go on a long time, so some of the animals sort of latch on. And while they're in pain, they sort of look at each other and there's a real burning passion in their eyes, and they sort of, they sort of express the pain to each other. Maybe I'm reading elements in it that don't need to be there, but there's a doctor sort of on standby who comes in and says, oh, that looks nasty. And then they rate the pain on sort of intensity, duration, and damage. So how bad it was, how long the pain lasted, and whether there's any permanent damage. I mean, honestly, Google it now. The sort of standout clips. It is insane watching people on telly. I don't want to give away too much about myself. Anyone who's seen my work, I don't do a lot of stunts. Cats just countdown or anything like that. But there's been times I've been told I wanted to have a singer as a mascot on one, and I was told I couldn't have them during COVID because while they were singing, they might project spit, and that was unsafe. So it's insane to watch two men literally rile up a python and then stick their hand in front of it until it bites them.
Well, maybe I'll watch that tonight then.
There are millions of delinquent men across this island that will really identify with this. You know, when men get bored and drunk and they hit each other with bricks and with bottles and things, there'll be millions of them watching this going, that's what me and you do on a Saturday night.
Yeah, it's Jackass with an immense carbon footprint is what it is. They like go to the jungle, you watch them catch the animal, and then you watch them get stung by it, and then they sit around the campfire at the end and they sort of chat about how much it hurt.
I mean, it sounds great.
Maybe you two could do the following series. Maybe you could bring it back.
Yeah, we could do a British version.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, but like how boring things can be. We'll go to the opposite end of the spectrum. We'll do the most boring
things. Or we'll just try and get like bitten by a dormouse or by classic British wildlife.
Yeah, well, I've already done the wasp, so there's not. I've been stung by a weaver fish.
I don't think I've ever been stung by anything.
Wow.
I know.
I feel good now. I feel really sort of strong and brave. Yeah. Right, Matt, true or
okay,
false?
I've done it a different way. I've got two statements. One is true, one is false.
Okay.
Is that okay? So here are the two statements. Statement number one, one of these is true, one of these is false. For many years, I was convinced that dogs hated me because I was a fan of Thundercats and I thought they could somehow sense it. Statement number two, I caught a seagull with one hand.
Wow. Why would you be I'm trying to think of why you would be catching a seagull with one hand. Like, did they steal a chip or something?
Okay, so I obviously I don't want to lean any one way. But yes, in a potentially hypothetical or factual scenario, one might be consuming food, maybe in a seaside town, and when a seagull swooped, might have raised an arm to defend yourself and actually caught it by the neck. Almost by accident.
Wow, that's impressive.
Mm.
I feel like that one has to be true then.
I'm afraid it's false.
What?
Of course it is.
What? I was visualizing that.
I know.
That was epic.
It was the power of storytelling, man.
And what's the other one? I don't even know what a Thundercat is apart from the musician.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
Oh, there we go. There's the 40-year-old vibes kicking in again.
Big all cartoon right, when we were kids called Thundercat.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. Good.
Well, you've got two projects then when we finish this. You can go and watch some Thundercats and some Kings of Pain.
Yeah, absolutely. Lucky me. Woo!
I did. I was going to do one that was true or false. I saw on one of your shows you ate a chicken nugget, a lab-grown chicken nugget. So a chicken nugget developed entirely from cells taken from a living bird. So genetically constructed chicken.
So would that be like a vegan nugget?
Well, that's the big ethical debate. No chicken was killed in its manufacture. In theory, from that one cell, you could create infinite chicken nuggets. So is that vegan chicken or is it still flesh?
It's a good question.
Thing is, if you've got tofu, you don't need to muck about with it, do you?
There's no comparison between a tofu nugget.
You know what drives me mad about you is you go on these campaigns and you talk me into it, right? Part of the reason I eat more tofu now is because of you. And now I'm into it. You're like, oh, it's rubbish. You told me that it was no different to chicken. You told me all I was missing was salt. And the same with dogs. For years, you're like, oh, you're pro dog. Then I was like, you know what? I want to get a dog. And I remember a few years ago, you going, oh, it's unethical. They're all bred to order. There's too many dogs in the world. I was like, what? Just as you convince me, you change your mind. It drives me mad, John.
Stirring the pot.
True or false, I'm a piece of shit.
Should we answer?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I think the answer is already hanging out there. While we've got the opportunity then, are there any footballers that we can help put you in touch with, or is there a footballer you haven't managed to get hold of that you'd love to for the show?
What teams do you guys support?
I support Nottingham Forest.
And I support Leeds United.
Oh... So Calvin's gone now. I was sad that he left.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
But
yeah, I'm afraid the player that you want, I can no longer get you.
Yeah, because I was going to say love Calvin. And then, oh my God, well, I've already done a Chicken Shop date with Jesse, who's now at Nottingham Forest, isn't he?
Yeah, I love that.
He
is, yeah, Notts Forest.
I actually don't really know many of the other players from Nottingham Forest.
That's cool. You soon will. Brennan Johnson is a star. Okay. You'd like him. Okay. Yeah, he's cool.
Okay, cool.
You'll see their names in the papers, followed by the words, pledges his commitment to Forest despite relegation battle.
Oh.
What a git. It's just not going to happen. Don't listen to him. We're going to take the Premier League by storm, and everyone knows it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Jesse's going to do.
Thank you.
Or, like, how it's going to play out. Like, that's exciting. Who else would I want to get? I really want to get Jack Grealish. Yeah, I'd love to do a Chicken Shop date with Jack Grealish. I think he'd be amazing. He's such a heartthrob these days, which is my type. So I think he'd be brilliant. And he just seems so, like, unintentionally funny that I think he'd be a brilliant guest. Who else would I love to get?
I don't know if you know that Matt Ford is one of our country's leading impressionists. I'm pretty sure you can do it.
I do know that. Can you do a Jack Grealish?
Okay, yeah. I was once sick on the waltzes and then went straight back on them.
That is hardcore of you, actually. Yeah. Because once you be sick on the waltzes, you kind of don't want to go back on at all, ever again, really.
I did. I liked the spinning. Okay.
You've got a very deep voice. Very, very deep. More deep than I remember.
Yeah. I've been at Lineker's in Ibiza and so I've been caning it.
Okay. Well, I think maybe that's probably true because I feel like you're quite the legend. So that's probably something you would do. You just get back on the waltzer.
Yeah, I'd had loads of donuts as well. So it was very thick.
The vomit was very thick.
Yeah, it came out like cake mix, and Matty Cash said, that's sick, and I didn't know whether he meant it in a good way or a bad way.
It's not bad.
That's quite... That's,
it's generic that's Birmingham, isn't it, let's be honest. There's a bit of Frank Skinner in there. Very, very thick.
I'm hunched over at a coffee table. With...
Glass one, is it?
It is actually a glass coffee table. Yeah, I'm just in some apartment in Edinburgh, mate.
Pay the bills in Edinburgh.
So are you excited? Are you excited for the new season to start? When does it start? Start this weekend?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. We've not been in the Premier League for 23. I mean, the last time we were in the Premier League, you were 5.
Yeah, I was 5. I don't remember it. What? How come? Because I wasn't really following the Championship. Why this year did Nottingham Forest get go up into the Premier League? What happened?
Mainly because of Steve Cooper, the manager. So our season started very badly under Chris Hughton. We fired him. And then Steve Cooper, who was a genius, turned things around in under a season, and obviously the owners and everything, the work that's gone on behind the scenes, but no one deserves more credit than Steve Cooper.
That's so incredible that he did that in under one, well, if he, like, in a season that he managed to do that. Because did you watch the Leeds United documentary?
Take Us Home,
yeah, because
yes.
I guess that's sort of what they wanted to sort of happen with, what was he called, the manager?
Marcel Bielsa. I'm over it.
Yeah, when he arrived, I feel like they thought, okay, he's going to turn everything around in one season.
Well, he's a really interesting case in point, actually, because he did turn things around, but not from a fan's point of view, not really in terms of the promotion. It's obviously massively important. It's what we wanted. But he turned it around in terms of what a fan experience of going to a game is and engaging with their team is. And that's what I think is interesting about the Forest thing. It's actually a nice point for us to conclude on, because we began talking about, obviously, England, the Lionesses, winning the tournament and all that is good about the women's game and the chance they have to build that game now and not make the mistakes of the men's game. And then you asked, why did Forest come on? And what they did is get an owner with lots of money, sign a borderline illegal number of players, and then any manager that wasn't working immediately, they sacked until it finally worked. True or false?
False. Lies. Fake news. Crap.
Thanks so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure talking to you. The big takeaway is, of course, Jesse Lingard, of all footballers, has a great sense of humour, and that's self-evident from where he's chosen to end his career. But thanks so much for your time. Good luck with everything going forward, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure, and yeah, bring on next season.
Cheers, Amelia. Thank you so much. Don't forget, you can follow Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Get in touch. Hello at cpfpl.com. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.